Let's see. They've already preached on women wearing breeches. I think somebody touched on women with bobbed hair. Somebody must have said something about uppity women in general. So I guess all I've got left to preach on is women preachers. I say that not to be funny, but because of the subject of the message the Lord's given me. I preach this from this text, but not this message. A few weeks ago in church where I pastor, I think that we can miss so much when we only look at a text from one perspective. There's much to be learned. I believe that the King James Bible contains the very real Word of God, that it is perfectly preserved. It is a translation. I understand that. I know that it wasn't written originally in English. But it is a perfectly preserved translation. So it is the very real Word of God. It is inspired, though it is translated from the original. I believe not only that it is the Word of God, I believe that every word in this book is the Word of God. Romans chapter 1 and verse 14. And it's not important because I believe it. I believe it because it's important. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Lord God, I ask that you would forgive every one of us our sins that are saved. Cleanse us with the blood of Christ. I pray, Lord, that you would bless those here that are lost. Father, bring them to life. Save their souls. I ask, Lord, that you would be seen, that Jesus Christ would be seen high and lifted up, that you'd hide me behind the cross, for I myself have nothing to offer. Lord God, be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Why is it necessary that we be compelled to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? Actually, that question was asked this morning. Brother Bourne put it very clearly. We ought to, just simply out of a love for Jesus Christ, out of a gratitude for what he's done for me, what he's done for us, we ought to gladly preach the gospel. We ought to want to tell people about Jesus Christ. But Paul says, I am debtor. The world owes a debt to Baptists. And that's true. But Baptists owe a debt to the world. I'd like for you to look quickly at the reason that we are compelled. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You don't belong to yourself if you're a child of God. I want you to understand that you have no right to your own opinion. Well, I believe so. But I think it would be better. I know, because I've argued with the Lord like this, and he's not interested. He didn't ask me. He didn't ask me if perhaps I would consider it to be better to do things a little differently. Or if I think it would be acceptable to do something in a different way, I am a purchased possession. I don't have the right to my own opinion. I don't have the right to do as I please. Well, no one will ever tell me what to do. And therein lies the problem. I'm a purchased possession. I have no right. I'm obligated. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. I'm God's creation, and so He owns me as His creature. I am purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, and I have been bought. And I belong to Him.
Amen.
I have no right to do as I please.
That's right.
It is a very real debt. Most of you have spent a lot of time in Baptist churches. I don't need to spend time proving to you the Bible commands us to tell people about Jesus Christ. You know that. Go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I know that you can't do that by yourself, but you can preach the gospel to everyone that God gives you the opportunity to. And you're required to, for no one will ever, ever, ever believe in Him of whom they've not heard.
That's right.
You know that I believe in the sovereignty of God. But the Bible is speaking to me here about my obligation. I'm obligated. And where unto am I obligated? 1 Corinthians 9. And verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, and yes, he was an ordained Baptist preacher, and yes, he did preach the unsearchable riches of God, but I want you to understand that everyone who's been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ has an obligation to tell the world about Jesus.
Amen. That is right.
And sometimes that word preach simply means to proclaim, just to tell. Just to tell. How shall they hear? Without a proclaimer, without a preacher. They've got to hear. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity, a requirement, Amen. Is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Why is it necessary that we be compelled to preach the gospel? Why should that be necessary? Are we such disobedient, ungodly creatures? I don't like to admit that, but we're still shackled to this flesh and we have that difficulty. But I really don't think that most Baptist church members do what they do or do not do what they do not do out of meanness or a disdain for God's word. Why then must we be compelled? Why must God require it of us? Why must it be said that woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel? A necessity is laid upon me. Because it's not easy to preach the gospel of Jesus. And I'm not talking about being an ordained preacher. That's a different thing. And it's absolutely true. There's a requirement laid upon him. And you could preach this if you were preaching an ordination sermon. Absolutely true. But it is just as much true that every one of us, as a child of God, is required to tell people about Jesus and what he's done for you. Well, it's easy for you because you're called to preach. Verse 17, for I do this thing willingly. I do. And if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, and sometimes it's against my will. You mean you don't want to do what God has told you to do? There's a lot of times I don't want to do what I'm supposed to do. I don't want to. Why? What would I want to? I'll come to that in just a moment. If I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. And yes, he's speaking here as a pastor. But it is not a pleasant thing to the flesh to tell people about Jesus. It is. Oh, now, there are those that gladly say what they have to say, but it isn't the truth. I could tell you that the Lord loves everybody. I could rub my money-hungry hands together and I could smile so sweetly that you'd want to vomit. And look, I'm not trying to be mean. It does make me sick to my stomach. And I could tell you, the only real sin is not knowing how much God loves you. Oh, people love to hear that. They love to hear that. But it's a lie. God's angry with the wicked every day.
Amen.
And God does not take those whom he loves dearly and cast them into eternal torment that they would suffer. He does not provide for those whom he loves a body that is indestructible and yet capable of pain. Capable of pain this body could never know, for we have a wonderful mechanism built into this body called shock. If it becomes too horrendous, it shuts down. But the body that those that have the second resurrection to look forward to, they will receive a body that is prepared for them that will feel pain completely. There'll be no shock. They will burn and they will burn and they will burn, and the smoke of their burning flesh will rise up into heaven. And the angels will sing glory, glory, glory. For the wrath of God is glorious. Just as his love is glorious. There is no degree of love in his wrath. And there is no degree of wrath in his perfect love. Now, I'm not telling you that Christians, as we've heard this during this conference, are not corrected, are not even judged for doing wrong and given a good whooping. But that's out of love. Because he would have us to do that which is good for us. And obeying him is the only way to be happy, to be at peace. And this takes me to the crux of this message. Why is it necessary that Christians who've been saved by the blood of Christ, who love their Lord, why is it necessary they be compelled constrained, required to preach the gospel. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is an offense to all that are unsaved. It was an offense to me before the Lord gave me ears to hear and a heart to believe. Verse 19, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. The reason that we must be compelled to preach the gospel, that God obligates us to preach the gospel, is it's not a pleasant thing. I'll give you an example. It's not a pleasant thing to even speak to Christians about what's holy and right and pure. There are some mothers that have been mad enough at me to spit on me. And I'm talking about church members. Not of the church, I don't think, that I pastor in. But I've preached a few other places. I'm concerned about young preachers today. And I used to be one. But I'm told that between 70 and 80 years is the biblical life expectancy, which would put middle age between 35 and 40. And so I'm not even middle-aged anymore. I guess I'm not a young preacher anymore. I'm not one of the old ones that we've heard much about this conference, but I am no longer one of the younger preachers, but I'm concerned about them. I know they have heard preachers most of their lives, and they've heard preachers say things that are hard to hear. What concerns me is they think that it's some kind of a requirement to preach to say things that offend. Do you think that I enjoy? Do you think that I enjoy telling mamas that God is displeased with them because they allow their daughters to dress like streetwalkers? Do you think I like that? I mean, do you think I do that? Do I do this for fun? Do I do it because I want to get a rise out of you? I was an adult when the Lord saved my soul. Oh, we heard about today that Paul carried in his body the marks of the gospel, but I want you to know, I carry in my body the marks of sin. Some of you don't know very much about that, and I praise God for it. I was a grown man, a platoon sergeant in the United States Army, and everything ungodly that you can imagine that might be. I look at some of you young people, and I know that you've heard me preach more than once, and some of you have gotten mad enough to spit on me. And I'm afraid some of you don't think that I love you. Why would I tell you? I mean, what on earth would compel me to tell you things that make you angry with me and not want to have anything to do? Do you not think that I would love to be loved by everyone? It's because I see many of you treading paths that will haunt you for the rest of your human life. Oh, but God saves souls. Yes, it does. It makes you a new creature. But shackled to this new creature is that old rotten corpse of the flesh. And I am haunted by my sins. I walk into a restaurant and I hear a song. The devil gladly reminds me of what I was doing and who I was and what was in my wicked, filthy heart. I was 16 years old. I attended a Baptist meeting similar to this. The preacher was preaching, and it was, well, back then, even Arminians weren't as Arminian as Arminians are today, at least not the ones that saved and loved the Lord. And he was a little Arminian, but after he preached, he must have noticed me, mean as a junkyard dog, mad, didn't like that preacher. And I glared at him, and he came down. He said, "Raise your hand if there's anyone lost in here." I'll raise my hand with pride. I raised my hand and I said, "Son, do you want to be saved?" I said, "No." He said, "Can I pray for you?" I said, "If you think it'll do any good." Well, after the Lord saved me, I wanted to go back to that preacher. I went back there and I wanted to weep with him. I wanted to thank him for caring enough about that wicked teenage boy. Tell him about Jesus to confront him. He was dead and gone to glory. There's no joy in my heart. Hurt your feelings? It's not a goal of mine. Those that think that preaching the gospel means that you look for offense don't understand the gospel's an offense. I love to preach the love of Christ. The problem is the Bible will not allow me to preach the love of Christ without telling you wherein lieth his love. And that he died for the ungodly, according to Romans chapter 5.
Yeah, he did. Amen,
I can't find any good news in the Word of God that does not first require you understand the bad news.
Amen.
I don't relish telling you this. It's not a joy to me to alienate and there's nothing on this earth that can be madder than a Baptist mama if you talk about her children, and I don't mean about them by name. I don't like that. I don't enjoy it. But I am compelled to tell you the truth.
Amen.
Turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. I am compelled by God, and if I do it willingly, then I receive a reward. I've been told, "Brother, you could shear the sheep without skinning them." I don't have any desire to shear or to skin. But I'm compelled by the Word of God to tell you the truth. And I do so. I would not do so. I would gladly, if the Word of God would allow me, I would gladly tell you that God will give you anything you desire. That God overlooks you. I mean, I'd love to be loved by you. At all times, I would love to be loved by everyone. I looked at some children that have grown up in Baptist churches, and my heart breaks. And I know that they've heard. Faithful men, faithful pastors have told them. And they've gotten mad, and they remain mad. And they've gotten hard. Why is it that people keep telling? Because they love them. You wouldn't tell anybody the truth unless you loved them. Because it's not a pleasant thing. To the flesh, where is the joy in telling someone they're on their way to hell and God is offended with them? That they are a filthy thing in the eyes of a holy God. Where's the joy in telling your own mother, whom you love so much, that God is an offense? That God is an offense to her, and she is an offense to God. Oh, no, she tells me, I love God. No, you are the enemy of God. You hate the true and living God and love a God of your own creation. Would it not be easier to hug her and thank her for all that she's done for me, her love to me? And never say a thing to offend her? Yes, it would. To tell her that she's an offense to God. Where's the joy in that? Where does the flesh revel in that, do you think? It's something that Christians gladly do. It's not the way to influence people and win friends. To tell them God is angry with the wicked every day, that they deserve to burn forever in damnation and hell in a lake of fire. People don't like that, surprisingly enough. It's not pleasant to the flesh, but we're obligated to it. And they think that I have become their enemy. Galatians 4 and 16, Paul says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I mean, that's a dispensation of the gospel committed unto me. And God didn't ask my opinion if I thought perhaps it would be better to do it a different way. Well, the world's full of that. The world is full of those that gladly soften the gospel, that take the offense out of the gospel, but then it's no longer the gospel. I'm amazed at people that seem to think that I like tell people these things. And again, I'm concerned about some young preachers that seem to enjoy it. Seem to look for the opportunity. I know that you may not believe this, but it is the truth. I look for the opportunity to tell people things they like to hear. I do. The problem is that the gospel fact, the entire Word of God is a two-edged sword. It surgically cuts, but it cuts.
Yeah, that's right. Amen. That's right.
I have not become your enemy. I love you so much that if God will continue to give me strength, I'll tell you the truth.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Until the Lord takes me home, and I wish it would be soon. There's been times when I've thought, Lord, really, I'd just as soon you came back right now, because I have no desire to say this to this person. I won't tell them this. But I know how sin will haunt you. If you're a child of God, yes, He forgives. Yes, He washes clean. Young people, I want to tell you something. If you don't marry a virgin, it will haunt you the rest of your life. Oh, I know that there's a lot of young people that think that Brother Keller just thinks of things to say at Baptist summer camp just to get all the kids mad, because I like it. I don't like it. If you give yourself over to alcohol or to drugs, it'll haunt you the rest of your life.
Amen.
Oh, I know. I know that God forgives. I know it washes clean. I know it's faithful. But as long as you're attached to that old flesh, you'll be reminded of it.
Yes. Amen, brother. Amen.
Oh, look, when we sow wicked things, when we sow wild oats, yes, the Lord is gracious. We reap what we sow, but He aborts the crop. We never receive what we deserve. As long as you live, the devil will never let you forget it. And I tell you this, because if you get mad at me, or if you don't get mad at me, you need to hear it. What then of the gospel that tells the lost that hate God's people, that hate the truth, that hate the Bible? I'm talking about Christians now are offended. They hate the truth. They hate my God. They hate the Word of God. They hate the only living true God. And they hate me. And Christ said it would be so. What do they think when I tell them they're an offense against a perfect holy God? Oh, brother, you just have to make Christ lovely to them. Turn with me to Isaiah 53. I would stand on my head and eat a bug. I would swallow more goldfish than Jack Hiles if it could save a soul. What would I not do? To what length would I not go? Gladly. I mean, I have seen people walk by me, and I have thought to myself, Lord God, have mercy upon their soul. These nuts that say that at a funeral have no idea what they're talking about. It's too late for mercy. Oh, but while they yet have breath, I love them. I mean, would it be love to know they're going to hell, they are going to burn for eternity, and a place where their bodies will burn and burn and burn, and they will never be consumed, never destroyed, but constantly in the process of death and misery and pain and torment, to allow them to go and not to try to stop them? I know that I cannot. I don't do this because I think I can save them.
Amen.
I do it because I'm compelled to.
Amen.
The love of Christ constraineth me. Constrains your pastor. Oh, those preachers, sometimes they're just mean-spirited. Look, if we were mean-spirited, we'd smile at you, watch you go to hell, and grease your way with sweet words. I want you to know the truth only because I'm compelled to do so. And because there's a love in my heart for you, I cannot make Christ lovely to you. Isaiah 53 and verse 1, who hath believed our report? You know what it's like to tell someone, and I hope that you all do, or that you will soon. Not that I wish any evil on you, for it is not a pleasant thing, but I hope that you'll know it, for it is obedience to God. Do you know what it's like to tell someone that you care about that they're going to go to hell if they do not repent and believe and call upon Christ, and to have them hear and not do, not flee, not react at all except in anger and rejection? Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He, that is Christ, hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. A couple of days ago, a member of the church where I pastor and I went to go visit a woman who is in terrible shape. Sin has ravaged her body, her life. There's nothing in this world being made homeless, being cast out, evicted from the place where she lived. No one will take her in. And I looked at her, and I know I could have patted her on the back as she wept. What she wanted to hear from me was, yes, I know it's terrible. Nobody loves you, and they don't understand you. You poor soul, you. Do you know what this mean-spirited preacher did? I said, you're right. There is no one that cares for you on earth. Because you, through your own deeds, have alienated everyone that ever loved you. The only one that tolerated everything from you was your mother. And she's gone. There's no one that cares about you. Because you won't let them. You have with your own sin. I said, you're right. There is no one that will take you. There is no one that will care for you. And it's not their fault. It is your own doing. I said, you don't even understand the half of it. You're about to become homeless. And it can get worse. You're headed for the gutter. And if they find you dead in the gutter, lying in your own vomit, it's not an unreasonable end for you. Why would you be so mean? Because I wanted her to know. I wanted her to know that there is no one that cares for her. And she has nowhere to go but to Jesus. Don't you understand? I want her to understand in this world, she had nothing. I mean, of everyone that I know, of every living soul on earth, there are few that are in worse spiritual or physical condition than she was. And it. I want her to see this world holds nothing good for her. I want her to know the truth. Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And you know what? She didn't get mad at me because she knew what I said to her was true. She knows me. She knows I care for her. She knows I've tried to help her. And she would not. And she knew the situation that she found herself in. If ever a human being could have been convinced this world holds no good for her, it should have been her. And I said, if you will turn to Jesus Christ, He will not only save your soul, He'll save your life. And she said, well, maybe next week. I said, no. You could turn now. I know that no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. But some of us act like we're afraid we're going to get somebody in that wasn't supposed to go. There's no wrong. There's no sin in pleading with souls to come to Christ. I said, you could now. You could now come to Christ. What hindereth you? Oh, I have such a headache, she cried. There's nothing lovely for her about the one that I find above all lovely. There was nothing. What would keep her? Where did she have to go? What did she have? She had nothing. Mentally ill, headed for destruction. I said, but now, if you will turn and believe He died on the cross to pay for your sins, call to Him, He'll save your soul. Flee to Him now. Oh, what a headache I have. She would not. Because to her, Christ was not lovely. What was in the world to hold her? Nothing. I'm constrained to preach the gospel to man because it is not a lovely thing to most. There was a preacher. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. While you're turning there, I'll tell you this is a true story. There is a preacher that said he preferred to preach to the poor and the needy. Why? Because they knew at least they had a need. He said in preaching to the successful, in preaching to the highly educated, in preaching to the wealthy, he found he could not make the gospel simple enough. He could not preach shallow enough for the successful. He made the gospel as simple as it could, and it was not shallow enough for those that spend their lives thinking of nothing but this world. And yet even the needy, though they know they have a need and they gladly hear about one that will supply their needs, when you tell them about Jesus, they find nothing lovely in it. Except that God would change their desires. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, now thanks be unto God, which always, and I love this, always causes us to triumph in Christ. That means every time I preach the gospel to everyone, that means any time you tell your neighbor about Jesus Christ, you succeed, you triumph, and that's true.
Amen. Right, brother.
Always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish.
Amen.
To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other savor of life unto life. Who is sufficient for these things? Every time you tell anybody about Jesus, it accomplishes God's purpose. Now, I'm not saying if they're not saved at that very moment that they're condemned to hell because of it, or to a lower part of hell because of it, for they may be saved. But it will accomplish one of two things. It will either become a savior of life unto life, or it will work as a savior of death unto death and condemn them the more to a deeper and more horrible part of hell.